Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is our 952nd day together in the Word of God. We come to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the third of the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, called major prophets because their books are long. Ezekiel is a long book, so here we are on the threshold of another major prophet study. It's going to take us several weeks to get through Ezekiel. It has some challenging passages for us, so we need wisdom as we begin, and we need the Lord's blessing on us as we dive into this book together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is holy. You are holy. We stand on the threshold of the book of Ezekiel, and we are excited and nervous, anticipating, and we want you to speak to us. We need you to speak to us and to teach us the truth and to write your word on our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1. In the 13th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Kibar Canal, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th day of the month, it was the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the Kibar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. As I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud, with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were, gleaming metal, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness, but each had four faces, and each of them had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like burnished bronze. Under their wings on their four sides, they had human hands. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touched one another. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. As for the likeness of their faces, each had a human face. The four had the face of a lion on the right side. The four had the face of an ox on the left side. And the four had the face of an eagle. Such were their faces, and their wings were spread out above. Each creature had two wings, each of which touched the wing of another, while two covered their bodies. And each went straight forward. Wherever the spirit would go, they went, without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures darted to and fro like the appearance of a flash of lightning. Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went, and their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures rose from the earth, the wheels rose. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went, and the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. When those rose from the earth, the wheels rose along with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse, shining like an awe-inspiring crystal, spread out above their heads. And under the expanse of their wings were stretched out straight, one toward another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. When they stood still, they let down their wings, and there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire. And seated above the likeness of the throne was a likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking. Oh, excuse me, I am a little sick, got kind of a head cold, sore throat, headache, so praying, we're looking to study this passage together. It's a beautiful passage. So if you've been with us through our reading plan, this is now the third time we've come to this vision of the throne of the Lord in our reading plan. The first one we did was in Isaiah, the second one more recently in Revelation, and now in Ezekiel. In the order they come in scripture, it's first in Isaiah, and then in Ezekiel, and then in Revelation. And the three are good to look at together. So I would just commend to you, like later today, if you get a chance, read Isaiah 6, and then come back to Ezekiel 1, and then Revelation 4 and 5. Isaiah shows the glory of God filling the temple in Jerusalem. But here we have Ezekiel in exile. He has been sent away from the land. And he's by the Kibar Canal. He's in the land of the Chaldeans. He's 1,000 miles away from Jerusalem. It's the 30th year. I think I read that as 13th. Like I said, I kind of have a headache and come in a fog. In the 30th year. What 30th year? We don't know. Probably refers to Ezekiel's age, because at 30 years old is when a priest would be ordained for his service. It's when he would be anointed with the oil of consecration and ordained to his service. It was at 30 years old that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River. And it's the 30th year, I believe, of Ezekiel's life, and it is the 5th year of the exile of King Jehoiakim. Probably Ezekiel was carried off in exile. So, in other words, at 25 years old, 5 years before he's anticipating becoming an active priest ordained, he's taken off into exile, and he's 1,000 miles away from the temple, and he doesn't know how long he's going to be there, except right around the same time, Jeremiah is saying, you're going to be there a long time, like 70 years. So he's never going to get to serve in the temple. But in the 30th year, in the year that he would begin temple service, the Lord comes to him. The Lord, as it were, brings the temple to him. So a generation, actually 120, 30, 40 years earlier, you had Isaiah who saw the Lord in the temple. And here Ezekiel is being shown the same Lord, same four living creatures, slightly different in the details, but the same idea. This is the majesty of God. This is the glory of God manifested to you 1,000 miles away from the temple. And you think you're not going to get to serve in the temple as a priest, but you are going to be a prophet to the people in exile. So at the same time that Jeremiah is a prophet to the people left in Jerusalem, Ezekiel is a prophet to the people who are in exile. Daniel is a prophet to the kings, to Nebuchadnezzar and the court of the pagans. So God's got his people, right, strategically placed. What's significant here is that God's glory is not bound to a geographical location. When John sees the glory of God, it's in the throne room of heaven, high and lifted up above everything. So in Isaiah, high and lifted up above the temple, here with his people in exile. Finally in John, over the whole earth. The glory of God is not limited. The glory of God is not locational. I've been to Jerusalem twice. I've been to Israel twice. But I don't really like to think about it as being the Holy Land, because while Jesus walked there and died and rose there, and while it is a wonderful place to go and visit, the whole earth is holy. We, his people, are holy. We are the temple of the living God, and we are from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. The glory of God fills the earth in the creation and in his church. So this is part of what we're seeing here in Ezekiel, that God is not limited to just being in the temple in Jerusalem. The details of what we see here, we see glory and majesty in the fire and in the gleaming metal. And then you see creation represented by these four living creatures. Again, we saw these details in Revelation. The man, they are human-like in their appearance. They have the appearance of a man because human beings are given dominion over all creation, under God, over creation. We bear the image of God. But these also have the face of a lion, of an ox, of an eagle, because those are the kings of the other orders of creation: lion, king of beasts; ox, king of the domesticated animals; eagle, king over the birds and the fish, because they're put together in day five. And so these are the sovereigns, the representative. Four living creatures represent the four orders of creation, the four sovereigns over the living creatures, and they are worshiping God. They are worshiping God. And because they have four faces on four sides, they don't ever turn to the side. They don't ever look away. They are always focused. And the wheels, this wonderful, we're going to see this vision come back again in chapter 10. But the wheel within a wheel, the idea that you can go in any direction. This is the omnipresence and the omnipotence and the sovereign majesty of God Almighty. And he's with Ezekiel. And he is with his people. When God, wherever God goes, his glory is there. His presence, his power. And it's not limited, not bound. So what does Ezekiel 1 have for us? Well, a couple of things, a couple of thoughts to think about. Number one, your life may not be exactly what you had hoped for or planned for. It may not be going according to the script that you would have written for it, but God is with you if you are his child, and God will use you as his ambassador in powerful ways, ways that you may not even be fully aware of. Be faithful to answer his call to be an ambassador for Christ, a witness to the world. Second, God is not limited. God's not limited by where you are, how much money you have, how much influence you have. Ezekiel was an exile and among a foreign people, probably living in pretty poor conditions, but God used him mightily, mightily. And finally, we need to understand that God is sovereign and holy and majestic. He's awesome. And that doesn't change because his people appear to suffer great defeat. This is the fifth year of exile. His people have been defeated. They've been humiliated. They've been subjugated to this pagan power. God has not been, though. God has not been humiliated. God has not been subjugated. God reigns supreme. So we need to worship him and trust him and follow him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you are the king over heaven and earth, sovereign in your majesty, holy in your glory, good to us. Use us as your witnesses. Use us as your ambassadors wherever you have us. May we be faithful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Ezekiel 1. Tomorrow we're going to go on to Ezekiel 2, Lord willing, and hear Ezekiel's call. Hope you can join me for that. And as always, I hope you have a blessed day in the Lord.